Let us pray before we, I want to pray before I start, so just going to be very simple. Let's bow our heads and go to God. Lord, Holy Spirit, may you do your work in here. Speak through me in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, I've had a message, and I was talking to Pastor Josh last night as he almost had a heart attack watching that game, and we can't find him. Nobody knows where he's at, but no, he's off with his family this morning doing something with his wife. Totally deserves it. And he asked me to preach weeks ago, and God's been giving me a message, kind of changed this morning, and God brought it all together. And I want to share what's on my heart with you. And it could be a 10-minute message. It could be an hour message. I don't know. So please pray with me over that while I'm preaching. But I want to start in the book of Matthew today. If you get to your phone or your Bible, we're going to read God's word and what the Holy Spirit has put on my heart, and hope he uses it today, Lord, to change your life and to draw you closer to Jesus. Anybody have trouble finding books? Not Matthew, but you get in the back, and I'm embarrassed sometimes. They put it up. Let's start up. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to start up a little higher than that, but you can leave that there. We got to remember here where Jesus is coming from. If you read up, he's coming from the Sermon on the Mount, where he's preaching to crowds and crowds. And his first message was repent and turn. Turn from your old life and turn to me. And he's walking the shore, and he says, 19, Jesus called out to them. He's calling out to who? To Zebedee. No, Zebedee didn't answer the call. He's calling out to here we go. Walking by the Sea of Galilee, I want to go back to 18. Jesus, as he's walking through the sea by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. If you read in the other Gospels, they were with their dad Zebedee. They're all in the boat. And he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. Immediately, they didn't hesitate. Immediately, they followed Jesus. Going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called out to them. Immediately, they left their boat with their father, and they followed him. Again, he's got four disciples now. He's saying one word, follow me. Follow me. He was going on out through Galilee teaching in the synagogue after that. That's his message. Follow me, follow me. Now, if you read on, you'll see through Jesus' ministry, 33 and some years, that he preached, follow me, repent. Turn from where you're going and follow me. And by the way, welcome to people online. I hope a lot of people are watching. I hope some of my family are watching. And again, may you be blessed by what God's doing here today. But it's hard to see, man. And I know what Josh is talking about. And I know why y'all set up here now. But his simple message, and if my message had a title today, it's the simple gospel. We complicate the gospel so much. Okay, we're going to find out why we complicate it, but Jesus, all he asked us to do is follow him. All right? Now, if you watched the game last night, I was talking to Garrett and Kenneth earlier. That game last night, Auburn and Alabama, there was thousands of people there. I was on the phone with Pastor calming him down, but I was watching the Auburn players, these teenagers and adults. They started to weep. The game wasn't even over yet. They knew they were going to get beat. They were weeping. And I'm thinking, you're crying over a stupid ball game. You know? A stupid ball game. So Alifun and LOL, I text Pastor and I said, hold on 1 second. He was in a frantic. We got to do this. They got to do this. I said, hold on 1 second. I'm going to pray to God. He was in South Africa doing some mighty mission work. And I said, can you pay attention now to the Alabama game? They kicked a field goal and they won. I'm not just saying, but God's not in that stuff. He doesn't care about football. You know, he just wants you to follow him. And the message today is follow Christ. How do we follow Christ? Many of y'all don't know me, but you're going to find out. My wife knows me well. I'm just a simple, simple guy. I look at stuff with a simple mind. You know, I own a packaging company along with my brother. We have a simple machine. It puts a band around a box. Your product goes in a box. It goes to a machine. It puts a band around it, secures it, goes on down the line. Now, the machine that we make has 14 moving parts. All of our competitors, our closest competitor, has about 120 moving parts. And I go to sell this machine. Our machine has one setting. Theirs has 20 plus settings. They've taken something very simple and complicated it. All right? I'll go in to sell this machine to people that have my competitors. And I'll roll it in there and they look at it and they're like, no way, no way. And I give you a prime example. I was in a room with 8 engineers. I'm not cracking on engineers if you're an engineer. We have any engineers in here? Good. Good. They're the smartest in the room. Okay? They've been to school. But sometimes you get so smart, you can't see something simple. All right? I roll this machine in there, and this guy looks at me and he goes, I've tried everything. There's no way that's going to keep up. There's no way that's going to be reliable. And my job is easy. Now, I used to try to go in and plead with them and did sales pitch. And I don't know if you've seen the movie Tommy Boy. Teenagers, you probably shouldn't watch that, but that was back a long time ago. He's got the greatest sales pitch ever. Just here it is. I looked at the guy. I'll never forget it. Big, big, massive, multi-million-dollar meat company. And I said, you don't see the simplicity. Everything you use complex. You don't believe in this machine. I tell you what, 1 year from now, if you don't like these machines, I'll refund your money. It was a 2-minute meeting. I walked out the door. They ended up, now they have over 100. I went back a year later and I looked at him. I said, you thought I was nuts? He said, yeah, I thought you were crazy. Another engineer looked at me one time and he said, why can't you guys make something simple? All you're doing is putting a band around a product. And I said, we have that. Why do we complicate the gospel so stinking much? It drives me nuts. I woke up this morning with a broken heart. I went to bed with a broken heart. And I'll be fine as long as I don't look that way. But Proverbs 14:12 says this. There's a way that seems right, but its end is death. Dad, mom, teenagers, there's a way that you think you're going right now that's cool, that's right, but its end is death. For you online watching, and I pray some people are watching, The way you're going is death. We have a simple gospel. Repent. Follow me. How about it, Ross? Follow me. Okay? There's some promises behind following me. There's some dads in here today, and I can see it on your face. There's some moms. I haven't been at this church long, but I love this church. And it breaks my heart to see some of you struggle knowing you're not following Christ. You're down here when you should be up here. Okay? How does he tell us to follow Christ? The greatest example. Go home and watch the Christmas movie with, what's his name, Will Ferrell. What's the name of it? Elf. What'd you do when he sees Santa? He freaks out. Okay? It's simple, folks. Let's go to our next passage. Matthew 18, 1 through 4. He's with his disciples. If you're taking notes, just write this down. They're saying, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Keep going. Verse 2. What's he do? He calls up a little child. Okay? Not one of them vipers and diapers. A kid that can talk and understand. You know what I'm talking about. I've got 10 grandkids. I love them to death. But he caught a little child and he put the child among them. Keep going. This is how simple it is. Then he said, I tell you the truth. Write this down. This is truth. If you don't come, unless you turn from your sins and become like not whiny adults, like little kids, okay, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. You ever see a kid see Santa Claus? That's what he's talking about. Okay? There's four things that kids do in a child like, not a childish behavior, childlike behavior. If you want to see the kingdom of heaven, there's four things. There's probably 50 things, but there's four things that I want to nail today. It's first one's curiosity. Kids are curious. Okay? They ask a ton of questions, right? You want to know about God? Ask questions. I've got two grandsons, Lincoln and Carden, one of them, and River, three. They ask me, don't they, Julie? They ask me every question. If I don't know it, I can make anything up. They'll believe it. They believe me. And they'll see this when they're older, hopefully. And they'll know Buster the Bear doesn't exist. I've made that up. Okay, to keep them in the house. They honestly believe there's a bear named Buster at my house that will eat them if they go down the hill. Okay? Come to Christ and believe what he says. We understand how simple this is? Just believe what he says. Lincoln. He sits in the back, asked me 1,000 questions. I was coming here for one Wednesday night, and I was supposed to preach. Dennis calls me like 10 seconds to go, says, hey, can't preach. All right, we'll do it. And I told the Wednesday night crowd that night. My little three-year-old looks out the window and says, look, Papa, there's Jesus in the clouds. There was an X. He said, X marks the spot. Look, there he is. I said, yeah, bud, that's the Holy Spirit. Be curious. If you don't know, ask questions. If you're not asking questions, you're not curious. You're not interested. Okay? If you notice through Jesus' ministry, he preached to thousands. But if you look at the end of the sermons, few followed. You understand that? If you want to be like a child, be curious, ask questions. Number two, be a risk taker. Now that's Lincoln. He'll go down the biggest hill backwards on a skateboard. They just moved to Cleveland. They have a big sloping driveway. I pray to God he's not going to go down it. He's asking for a snowboard for Christmas. They will take risk. Church people? Yeah, they will take a risk. Why don't you take a risk with your faith? Step out, learn how to walk. Okay? How about this one? Take a risk and go teach little kids in the children's ministry. Take a risk. You might be blessed if you do it. Okay? Take risk. Here's a big risk. Share your story. My little Linky, he will tell you anything. I can't tell you some of the stuff he's told grown-ups. Okay? But he's not scared. Every one of you have a story here. Some of you have a story you haven't dealt with. A lot of you have stories. I was talking to DJ this morning, and I said, can you imagine? He posted a picture of the before and after. Long hair. Look wild, dude. I said, can you imagine what it's going to be like when you walk into heaven? They'll be praising God for what you used to be. That's why they're shouting in heaven. They see the old DJ. They're going to see the old Julie, the old me, the old Ross. That's why they're shouting in heaven, because God's done this work in them. Yeah. You know? Be a risk taker. Number three, be a believer. I might lose a bunch of you on this one. Be a believer. Take God at his word. If he says it, believe it. You know? You know what we do? And I've done it. I'm preaching out of conviction this morning. I'm not preaching at y'all. This has helped me probably more than it's going to help y'all. Be a believer. Okay? If he stinking says it, do it. Well, you might not be saying that in a second. Malachi 3:10. God tests us. God tests us one time in the Bible. You know what he says? Honor me with your wealth. You do it. You test me. And I'll pour the blessings out on you. This ain't no Benny Hinn, give 10 bucks and get a new car. This is, you give your wealth back to God. He doesn't need your wealth. He wants to see your faith. Okay? Now, I told Josh I might not be able to preach again after this, but you're going to hear God's word. And he said, test me. Okay? You can't go wrong. It's not that I'm giving my money to a church. This church doesn't need your money. I've been in meetings where Dennis has given us a report, and me and Josh look at each other. Josh goes, well, I don't know if he said that, but God's got this. Wade, don't worry, God's got this. Dennis, don't worry, God's got this. But can you imagine what we could do if everybody out of faith gave? Could you imagine the work? Malachi 3:10, go read it. He's testing you. Okay? As Forrest Gump would say, that's all I'm going to say about that. But number four, be totally dependent on God. My grandkids are totally dependent on me and Julie when they're around us, dependent on their parents. They can't survive without them. We can't survive without God. Okay? Now, you'll leave this church today, many of you, and when you walk out of here, you're going to leave the Holy Spirit right there in the back. You say, I got it from here. I'll pick you up next week. Okay? I'll do it myself. That's not how it works, folks. Be totally dependent on God. Rely on Him. If we go to John 3:16, even saw it at the game last night to kick a field goal when they hold a big sign up. To me, it's one of the scariest verses in the Bible. You know why? Because I got people that I love that think that's going to get them to heaven. Put it up there. John 3:16, we all know it. They actually believe this alone is going to get them to heaven. Just a believer. Now, if you're like a child, you'll inquire, what does this verse say? There's more to it. It's not a belief. Just because you walk into a garage doesn't make you a car, you know? Just because you wear a Redskin shirt and a helmet and pants doesn't make you a Redskin football player. You don't want to be one anyway, but it doesn't make you that. Walking in this church doesn't make you a Christian. Okay? Walking in that kitchen doesn't make you a cook. If you look at the word believe, that word means, in the Greek, trust, obey, follow. Now, will that get you there? Trust, obey, and follow. How do we get there? You know, many of us, and I used to be down here, God's up here and we'd stand and walk and clap and raise our hands and attaboy. We'd come to church, work on our marriage. Please God, we get at the altar. Please God, help us with our marriage. We don't have any money. Maybe somebody can pay our light bill. Somebody can give us some food. But we never take the step up here to follow Him. Don't use God. He's not there for that. He won't honor it. Don't get me wrong. You come here, we will feed you. We will help you. But don't use God. That's not what He's there for. We're down here, we're praising God. How do we get there? How do we get there, DJ? We take a step. You have to actually take a step from your old life. You were going that way. That's what the Bible says, repent. Turn from your sins. Come on up here and follow Christ. Can you come up here? Come on. When Jesus was with His disciples, stay right here. They got to see all His miracles. They saw everything. Okay? They heard every sermon. He sets them down at the end before He was going to be crucified. They have a meeting and He says, I'm leaving. I'm going to send you something better to help you, to be your helper. The Holy Spirit. Okay? A lot of you don't know that word. We hear it. We don't understand it. The Holy Ghost. I don't like the Holy Ghost word. I like Holy Spirit. But He said, you come to Me, this is what I'm going to give you to help you. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit. He walks with you. When you become a child of God, He gives you the Holy Spirit. Jesus isn't here. Jesus is sitting at the throne of God right now. God's not here. He's in heaven. The Holy Spirit's here. The Holy Spirit is the finger of God, folks. If you walk out of this church today without the Holy Spirit, you're walking in your own apparel. You're doing it yourself. Wherever I go, God goes. Okay? Whenever I need help, and God's always in front of me, He's there. You want to get curious and ask questions? The Holy Spirit will tell you. Thank you, brother. Aren't you sick of playing church? Huh? Do you know what? If everybody in this church knew the Lord as their personal Savior, and the people at home, if you just had God, if you went from being an admirer of Christ to a follower, how much better your life's going to be? He promised us abundance, an abundant life. Back in Malachi, He tests us, give me your money so I can see your faith. Not that He needs your money, but I'll make you a promise, folks. If you start tithing and giving God what's His, I promise He will bless you. I promise you. And I'll make a promise to you today. You come to me in January 1, and if God hasn't blessed you for tithing, I'll refund your money double. I'll give you double what you put in. If God hasn't blessed you with giving, I want to see God do great things in you. And that'll happen. But more importantly, what I want to see, I want to see God do a work in you. And when you're up here speaking, God puts faces on your heart. The Holy Spirit tells you, there's some hurting people in this room. And what you're doing, you're trying to do this on your own. And at home, you're trying to do this on your own. And you've got a Savior that's waiting on you to give you a helper. The Holy Spirit to help you and guide you. You need to stop sucking them pills down. That's not your Holy Spirit. You need to quit drinking alcohol. That's not your help. That's only complicating the gospel. He just wants us to follow Him, don't He, Ken? He just wants us to follow Him. Romans 10, 13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I think what's stopping a bunch of you and the ones in my life right now that I pray are watching, you're going to stop you from being saved. You think doing this on your own, you can do it on your own. And you go back to earlier, the way that you're going seems right. It's not. It's death. You want to go from an admirer? I admire Jesus. He's a great guy. He's coming through. That's what they did back then, didn't they? Can you heal her? Can you heal him? Can you give us food? They never made that step to follow Him, did they? And He promises you. What I want to see, guys, I want to see the Holy Spirit do work in your life. And the ones watching online, what a community we could change forever. What a better life you could have if you just gave it to God and followed Him. It's simple. I'm sick and tired of it, guys. I'm watching some of my loved ones play church. They believe. They see this blue-eyed Jesus with long hair. And they only ask for him at funerals or when something bad happens. They pull the Jesus card out. Where is he at? Could you imagine doing a friend like that? How many times, DJ, would I call you for money, help, until you just stopped? Dude, help yourself, you know? There's people in this room going to hell because you want to give in to God. I've got family. Right now, and I hope they're watching. I got people I love. That if they died tonight, they would end up in hell. And all you got to do is turn. Turn from your old life. Turn the way you're going and follow Christ. You know, Job had a terrible life. If you don't know the story of Job, it's the oldest book in the Bible. It's the first book in the Bible. Oh, sorry. Satan took everything from him. He took his kids, his wealth, everything. But at the end, and this is my prayer for y'all and the ones that I love, he said, the Spirit has made me. Julie, the Spirit's made you. And the breath of the Almighty is in me. That sounds confusing to you. That's what the first church was founded on. Jesus told his disciples, wait for me in Jerusalem. And I'll give you something better than me. They went up in that room, 100 plus of them. And they waited. And it says in Acts 2, 30 something, 35, that a rushing wind came through that upper room that night and filled their lungs. If you look up that word in the Greek, it's a word called pneuma. I explained this to Wednesday night service. That's where we get the word pneumonia. It's a God-breathed air. And if you don't know what happens after that, they went crazy for Jesus. The rest of the Bible was written. They went berserk for God. Not until they got the Holy Spirit. Not until you get the Holy Spirit will you do anything for God. You're going to be doing it for yourself. And God promised that he'll use the Holy Spirit to convince you. And I pray he's doing it today. And I pray he's doing it online. He uses the Holy Spirit to convince you. Convict you. Convict you of your sin. Convict you that you're lost if you don't know God. And he will complete you. I was in a hotel room the other night. God gave that to me. And I just want it for y'all. I want it for my loved ones. I see such godly potential in a lot of you in here. If you just allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, to come into your life. You can't do it on your own. you'll get in a situation where there will be alcohol. There will be porn. There's something separating you from the love of God. And he's a jealous God. So don't take that the wrong way. It's not a teenage love jealousy. It's a love so deep that all he wants is your time. And anything that gets in between there breaks his heart. It's a jealousy that anything that comes in between me and my wife breaks my heart. And that's the jealousy that God has for each one of you. He sees you fighting alcohol. He sees you fighting pornography. He sees you fighting work. Whatever it may be that separates you, that's keeping you from him, keeping you from asking questions, from being a risk taker like a kid, for enjoying everything he has for you. All he wants is you. Guys, I beg you today, this may be the last time you hear the gospel. God forbid it. But there's some people in here that need to get right with God. And there's some people in here that need to pray for others. He said, just follow me, guys. Follow me. That's all he's asking. Right now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to several of you in here. And you're saying, nah. It's not the right time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't take a risk. Don't take a risk. Again, what we could do for God as one unit. You know, we're talking about life groups starting the first of the year. That's the Acts 2 model. That's where they started. That's where the church grew. They loved one another. They cared for one another. They shared the wealth. They shared food together. But they all had one thing in common. They all knew the Lord. Casey, they all knew the Lord. Don't leave here today, guys, without leaving here with the Holy Spirit. Okay? If it sounds confusing to you, ask me. But it wasn't. It wasn't Pilate that handed over Jesus. It wasn't the Jews. Judas didn't hand him over for money. The Jews, they didn't hand him over for envy. It was God himself that gave his only begotten son. He delivered him to that cross for you. He delivered his own son, something none of us in here would even fathom, think about doing. He gave his son, sent him to the cross to be crucified so you could have his spirit to get through this life and full remission of your sins. Guys, let's bow our heads, and I'm gonna give one invitation, and I'm not gonna beg anybody to come to Christ and not follow him. Because he didn't. He didn't beg anybody. Let's continue to stay online and God, there's people in here, Lord. Come to you, Lord, today as a broken dad and a broken father and broken friend.
just breaks me to see what breaks your heart, Lord, is people will actually leave here today without you. Lord, bind Satan up right now that he doesn't speak to him. May, Lord, they hear your Holy Spirit's voice right now. Lord, for your glory, change their hearts that they may be used, Lord, in your plan, God. You planned to use them for your kingdom. May it be granted today, Lord, that they've come to know you. Lord, anyone in this room right now, if you don't know the Lord, just stand up and come down here. I'm just going to ask you one time. You shouldn't be ashamed. There's no secret salvation. He says, if you love me, you'll profess my name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Dads in here right now. I can feel it. I know it. There's some dads in here right now that if you got saved, you could turn your family upside down for Jesus. There's moms right now. If you just got saved, if you gave your life over to God, quit playing this church thing. What a life you could have. There's mamas here online. What a life you could have if you just trusted God with it. What a story you have. Shaw. I want to get DJ to pray, but if you don't know the Lord, don't leave here. Please don't. I'll be waiting right here if you want to talk. But I beg you, don't do it today. Don't leave here without Jesus, without following him.
Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this word you've given us. And I thank you for the conviction. But I pray that each and every one here that does know you would have the strength to remove the things that hinder us from being fully committed to trust you, to obey you. God, that we would give in to the Holy Spirit, that we would lay our lives down to follow you and know that no matter how scary that is for us, you always show up. You always show out. Your promises are always yes and amen. But God, I just pray that you would empower us all. God, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, they wouldn't leave today. And for all those here that do, that they would step out. That they would get uncomfortable. That we would all lay our lives down to follow you. God, that we would stop playing church. That we would start being the church. God, that this spark could start a wildfire in our community, in our world, because of people seeing you in us, because we're willing to lay it down. Father, I thank you and I love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.